Already also in the 2nd century, we find the development of literature, the apocryphal Gospels and the apocryphal Acts, which find as their closest analogy the picaresque novels, the romantic novels of the Greco-Roman world, like Leucippe and Clitophon. Indeed, the closest analogy to the Acts of Paul in Thecla, written around the year 180, is Charias and Calliroe, a romantic novel, boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy finds girl, that was written by Chariton of Aphrodisias. Now, when Christianity becomes the imperial religion under Constantine, it obviously is going to appropriate even more explicitly many aspects of Greco-Roman culture, even as it explicitly rejects paganism. So it destroys the statues of the gods and appropriates the pagan temples and Christianizes them. Now, in the realm of thought, the development of Christian doctrine owed a great deal to its reliance upon philosophy. The doctrinal disputes of the 4th and 5th centuries were fundamentally ontological or philosophical in character. It was because the Alexandrian priest Arius tried to understand the Trinity in philosophical terms that he concluded that if God is one, the Son could not also be God. That is, if the Father is God, then the Son could not also be God, but had to be a creature. And so he took the philosophical phrase, homoi ousios, the Son is only similar in nature to the Father. And the Council of Nicaea used similar philosophical language in the development of the Nicene Creed in order to rebut Arius by declaring that the Son is homoousios, the very same substance as the Father. So philosophical language and the use of rational discourse in order to give propositional expression to the Christian experience was a manifestation of cultural development. Under the empire, Christian writers wrote poetry and hymns in honor of Christ that made use of classical forms. Gregory of Nazianzen, for example, wrote reams of theological poetry in the form of classical hexameters in Greek. And in the West, Ambrose of Milan composed poetry in Latin that was chanted by members of the Christian community in order to give hymnic expression to proper doctrine over against the Arian opponents. We even find in Greek literature the equivalent of the invocation of the Muses. Remember that the Homeric epics and Virgil begin their epics by invoking the Muses to guide them in their discourse. Well, we find in Greek literature, Christian literature, that the equivalent of the invocation of the Muses is a citation from the letter of James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above from the Father of lights, with whom there is not change or shadow of alteration, so that they thereby signify that what they are writing is really a gift from God. We saw in an earlier presentation that as the hierarchy of the church under Constantine paralleled the complex administration of the empire, so did the occupation of great public spaces, the imperial basilicas, encourage the development of art. We saw how public worship in these basilicas became a great liturgy with dramatic movement and costumes or vestments, processions, song, smoke, bells. All of this was highly dramatic because it served as a kind of public spectacle. At the same time, in the 4th century on, in basilicas like that at Ravenna, which is extant and a spectacular site, we have the adornment now by means of mosaics. The mosaics at Ravenna put in the apse of the basilica, in the great arch, representations of the divine and of the political rulers as a kind of cooperative picture of the ruling of the world through Christian and imperial power.